Well, we are living in exciting days and also terrible days, because we know that the day of the Lord, when the Lord will return again, and we all look forward to that day, but we need to be prepared and aware and alert, as Greg said so beautifully just a few moments ago. And yes, those fires in Canada, I think it's one area, I think it's Yellowknife, they are saying that they've evacuated the whole of that city, or have evacuated the whole of thousands of people from that whole area. So they really are pretty bad, what is going on. Okay, turn with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, and I suppose if you wanted a title for this message this morning, it would be this: Watchmen, it is time to sound the trumpet. Ezekiel chapter 33. I'm going to read the whole chapter this morning from the New King James Version of the Bible. So Ezekiel chapter 33, and reading verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, a land, and the people of a land, take a man for their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your own soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day of his sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely die, live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous work shall be remembered, but because of the iniquity that has he committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right. If the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen, walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children of your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair, but it is their way which is not fair. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked returns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair, O house of Israel. I will judge every one of you according to his ways. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month and the 5th day of the month, that one who had escaped from Jerusalem came to me and said, the city has been captured. This referring, of course, to chapter 4. Now the hand of the Lord has been upon me the evening before the man came who had escaped. And he had opened my mouth so that when he came to me in the morning, my mouth was opened and I was no longer mute. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with blood. You lift up your eyes towards your idols and shed blood. Should you then possess the land? You rely on the sword. You commit abominations, and you defile one another's wives. Should you then possess the land? Say thus to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the ruins shall fall by the sword. And the one who is in the open field I will give to the beasts to be devoured. And those who are in the strongholds in the cave shall die of pestilence. For I will make the land most desolate. Her arrogance and strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through. Then they shall speak and know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land more desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, saying, to everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For they, with their mouth, they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel is appointed as a watchman to the house of Israel. And there are many references in Scripture to the watchman. In Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7, it says, I have set you a watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day and night. To you who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 17 to 19 reminds us also, I have set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity upon this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but have rejected it. And Jeremiah 31, verse 6 to 7 says, for there shall be a day when the watchman will cry out on Mount Ephraim, arise, and let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Jeremiah 51, verse 12 tells us that set up watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. So the duty of the watchman is to warn the people of imminent danger. And everyone in the city depended upon the watchman for their safety. And the duty of the watchman was to blow the trumpet, to warn the people to get ready, for the enemy is approaching or has surrounded a city. And there are some 53 verses in Scripture relating to the trumpet. At the time of Joshua, the sound of the trumpet in Joshua chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. It says, and the seven priests, a familiar story of the walls of Jericho, and the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. At the time of Gideon, the trumpet was used in Judges chapter 7, verse 18, where it says, when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you will also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Job even makes mention of trumpets in chapter 39, verse 24 to 25. It says, he devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet is sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, ah, he smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. And then we have, of course, the Feast of Trumpets, which we're all familiar with, on the first day of Tishnari, which is in October, the seventh month of the sacred year. The objective was to call God's people in remembrance who it was they served. A dedication of themselves to the Lord, and special offerings were made using bullocks, rams, and a kid goat as a sin offering. And there are two kinds of trumpets. There's a straight version and the one like a cornet, which we call the shofar, which were blown in the temple. And we see that there in Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, and say to the Israelites, on the first of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord with fire. And then we have, of course, in the New Testament, when we talk about the last trumpet sounding in Matthew 24, verse 30, it says, verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. And it says there in Corinthians, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, for this mortal must put on immortality. So then, when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, O death, where is thy sting, O Hades, where is thy victory? And the great hymn writer James Black, who was born in New York in 1856, and worked at the Pine Tree Methodist Episcopal Church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and started his music career at Moody Bible Institute. And he wrote and edited some 1,500 songs and hymns, and served on the commission for the 1905 Methodist hymnal. And he wrote the hymn, When the Roll is Called of Yonder, I'll Be There. And it says these words, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there. And then the second verse, on that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather their home beyond the skies, when the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there. And as Ezekiel was chosen by God to be the watchman and to blow the trumpet, he was chosen by God, not by the people. God chose Ezekiel to be the watchman. And so we this morning, as God's people, are called to be watchmen. warning that judgment is coming. And God is holding us accountable to warn the people out there that he's coming to judge the nation, and judgment is coming, and that Jesus is going to return soon. But he offers grace and mercy to those that will turn to him in repentance. And 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8 and 9 tells us, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? We are to sound the trumpet. We are his ambassadors. We are his witnesses this morning, hallelujah, on earth, to those outside who do not know Jesus Christ the Savior. Jesus is coming back, but he's coming back for a prepared people. We have so many things to be aware of. Our duty is to warn people. As we see the agenda of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the New Age movement and the global warming fanaticists and climate change ideologies, as we see the issue of UFOs or unidentified objects and the accounts being given over in US Congress by whistleblowers, what are we to make of all this? Is this a deception organized by the global elites? Or is it, as some have suggested, the start on the means to bring multiple crises upon the earth in order for the elites to bring about the Great Reset? Or is it something that will explain why, when Jesus returns, thousands of Christians will disappear into the sky? And really, it was a series of spacecraft that they went into. But if that is the analogy, if that is the case, what do they know about Jesus' return? Why are they so worried that they have to give an explanation when they do not believe him or acknowledge him and only see themselves as God himself? Mark 13, verse 5 to 7 tells us to take heed that no one deceives you. It's important we take that verse to heart. Take heed that no man deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. In Mark 13, verse 22, it tells us, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says these words, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself he is God. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 says that the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. An example of that might well be the many examples within the current traditional church in Great Britain today. That many have worked onto the doctrines of demons. We see that in the Roman Catholicism with the Mass, which is the worship of demons. And then it goes on in verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. This was in Paul's day. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving, by whose truth we believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. It is to receive with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And then we see the other example of the worship of nature, where it talks about in Romans, in the beginning of Romans, the chapters there, where it says that they worship the creation rather than the Creator. But we are reminded as well in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13, we are to remain strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, that we are to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. And this is important. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And having done everything, to stand. So the battle is going to be intense. It's going to be great. And we need to put on the full armor of God if we're going to stand. And there Paul reminds us, he repeats it, and with all to stand. So whatever the issue of aliens or UFOs, or whatever is the grand plan of deception by the global elites, it is true, and we could say that these are demonic appearances, which is certainly possible. Not only are these coming from other planets, fitting into the Hollywood version of friendly aliens, such as the ET film and other films that have been brought out of Hollywood from some years back. There is one academic author who is on YouTube who is saying that we need to embrace these creatures, or to embrace these demons, as they are good for us. We are to accept them as friends and to embrace them and to accept them a fact that they are here to help us. And how can we embrace these? He's telling people that you do this through meditation. You allow them to come into your life. If these are demons, and highly likely they are, if the statements are true, then embracing demons and thinking they are good for us is indeed very dangerous. And have seen in past, personally, people becoming possessed further down the lines. We need to be clear on these matters, so that when people ask us on the street what we believe and think regarding, we have answers prepared. We are to sound the trumpet that Jesus is coming again, and we will be resurrected not by alien spaceships, but by Jesus the Messiah himself. Hallelujah. And Ezekiel 33, verse 7 to 8, it says, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." It's God alone who has appointed Ezekiel for this task over the house of Israel. He was not appointed by the people to do this job. And in verse 2a of chapter 33, it says, "Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them." Remembering that Ezekiel was forbidden to speak until Jerusalem was overthrown. And Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 26 to 27 says, "On that day, one who escapes will come to you and to let you hear it with your ears. On that day your mouth will be open to him who has escaped, and you shall speak and no longer be mute. Thus you will be a sign to them, and they shall know that I am the Lord." And so now in chapter 3 he is opening his mouth as instructed by God. Now he is addressing to the Jews at this day. And so in verses 1 to 9, it's about Ezekiel's job description, using the earth as example of a watchman who stands guard and watches for the slightest signs of danger and acts to warn the people that danger is imminent so that they can take cover and prepare to fight in the case of a battle. The watchman was usually chosen from a surrounding area. He was a local. And in verse 2b there, it says, the people of the land take a man from their territory, so he's local, and they make him their watchman. But we as watchmen have a tremendous responsibility, as is Ezekiel's day, to warn the people and to sound the trumpet. And his duties are laid out there in verses 3 to 6. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, the sword comes and takes every person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Brothers and sisters, are we sounding the trumpet this morning for this nation? To those who are around us, those that do not know Christ, those that are in turmoil at this moment in time, not knowing what is truth and what is error, not knowing what to believe and what not to believe, not knowing what truth is. Does truth exist? Do I exist? Or is this a mere mirage of my existence? Are we sounding the trumpet when all we see around us is decay and we know that we are in the last days? We are to people that sound the trumpet and announce that Jesus is coming again. He's coming to judge those that do not know him. And it is our responsibility in God's power and grace and love to do all we can to warn people, look out, judgment is coming. You need to repent. In verse 6, it says, if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes a person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. We are responsible as Christ's ambassadors and witnesses here on earth. When that day comes, when Christ comes, we will have to give an account of why we did not blow the trumpet, why we did not warn those around us that they need to repent and turn to him so that he can forgive their sin and then have an assurance of heaven and be with Christ. Are we not gripped by this as God's people this morning? Are we not gripped by the reality that people are going to hell? That if it hadn't been someone who came to us, we would also be going towards hell. That place of eternal separation from Christ, from God's love and compassion. It should be God's love and compassion that drives us to our knees and summons us to this world in the power of the Holy Ghost to share the message of a hope in Jesus. Why are we so complacent? Why would we rather sit in our favorite armchair and read our favorite book or watch our favorite soap opera? We become so complacent. I'm guilty of this as well. Not just that. We have the attitude of, well, I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. I don't care about those that are going to hell. You see, we've been so infiltrated with the world's things. With our entertainment, with those things that titillate us, the things we like to do, our technology, our gadgets, have so taken hold of us that we no longer weep for those going to a Christless eternity, but are only happy when we've got our technology. It's rather like several working on a railway line, trying to fix a rail or do some routine maintenance. And there's four or five of you on the track. A train is rapidly approaching the section where the track, where your workmen are working. And the guy who's supposed to be watching and aware of the train's movements on that section of track sees a train coming. And then is distracted. And then he looks again. And the train is now 300 or 400 feet away. And he simply steps side of the track. And all his fellow workers are killed and decapitated. He saw the train coming. It was his responsibility to warn the other workers. He didn't. And they all died. All were killed. Our job is to watch and to sound the trumpet. Verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and doesn't blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned of imminent situation, and the sword comes and takes every person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Their blood outside of the people we meet and mingle with is on our hands. And we will have to give an account for why we didn't warn them. Why, in that situation when we saw and we had an opportunity to say something, and we didn't. Maybe because we thought we didn't want to upset anybody, or we just don't want to, you know. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 and 12 says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God, so that each of us shall give an account of himself to God. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 10 to 11 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Know therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. We won't appear to be judged if we know Christ, but we will have to give an account of why we failed to speak when the opportunity was given us. And verse 9 of Ezekiel 33, nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. If we have done all we can in wisdom and by the Holy Spirit in filling us, the opportunities that he has given, if we've done all we can to sounded that trumpet repeatedly, and they still do not see or will not listen, then you've done and executed your role and responsibility. And as it says there, if they continue, they will die in their sinful state, and they will go to a Christless eternity. But you will be exonerated from a position because you blew the trumpet and you warned them. Verses 10 to 11, Ezekiel 33, therefore you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? And then in the New Testament, we're reminded in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish. As it says there in Ezekiel, he's not willing that any should die in their sin. Because God loves every person on the planet today. And he longs for them to come to him, to have that relationship, that personal relationship. For God so loved, it says. He so loved the world, climate change enthusiasts. God loves the world. He loves creation. And he loved man and humanity so much that he gave his only son. And verse 6, I conclude with this warning. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So we are watchmen. We have the gospel trumpet to blow. We know we're in the last days. We need to warn the people that Jesus is coming again. Coming to judge the world. And hell is a reality and a real place of eternal separation from God for those that do not respond. Watchmen, it's time to blow the trumpet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful redemption that we have in you. The Lord, you saw us in our sinful state, and you were willing to die and take our place for our sin. And as we've seen, Lord, in Scripture, that you so loved the world, that you were willing to give your only Son to die in our place so that we could go free. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us a responsibility. You've given us an awesome responsibility to speak out the truth of your word, to warn the people, to warn our friends, our family, to warn those we meet at work in our daily place or in the coffee shop, wherever it is we are, wherever it is we go. Lord, help us to be those faithful ambassadors for you, to speak and to sound the trumpet, to warn people of coming judgment, to warn people that they need to be ready. Lord, that the things that are happening around them, what they can see in their own eyes and ears, that things are getting worse, and that things are heading towards some pinnacle. And we know what that is, and that is your return. But Lord, we pray that you'll use us effectively, that you will fill us with your Spirit, that you will once again remind us of these words of Scripture, that we have a responsibility to tell the world about Jesus. Lord, help us to do that, whether it's on the street, whether it's in our homes, whether it's with our family, or whether it's with our work colleagues. Every opportunity that we may have that boldness to speak for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you.